Blog Talk Radio.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, welcome to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. So glad to be with you here for this third edition of Normal Show Live. Oh yes, having some fun with the buttons here as well. All sorts of good stuff going on. Gotta remember to push the right button. There we go. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, hump day, and that means it's the day for your regular dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who will be joining us live at the bottom of the hour and taking your calls at 347-994-1810. Dr. Mitch is the author and editor of Understanding Marijuana, The Parent's Guide to Marijuana, and Pot and Politics. You can check out his books on Amazon.com or just go to live.normal.org and you can click right there and you'll find the books just listed right up there. You can click on them, order them for yourself. Also want to give a big shout out to Reverend Ray Green out there and congratulations to the Iowa Hawkeyes, winners of the Orange Bowl, and very happy that Boise State had to play TCU. Also, my good friend from up in the Pacific Northwest, along with me in the upper left-hand corner of Oregon in Astoria, my half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for having me on the show again today.
Oh, I can't help it. Somebody has to read the news. We'll be getting to the news here in just a little bit. And again, taking your calls at 347-994-1810. Also want to give a shout out to the regular listeners of the former Daily Audio Stash podcast who are joining us. And we are experimenting today with something that should give you a little better audio quality on the iPod download. That's right. I'm recording the show right now live from the board. We'll upload that after the show. So those of you who join us later can just go ahead and get that good audio quality. Got the fax machine going off. Boy, we're having fun here in the studio. Everybody wants to get in touch with me. Lots and lots of fun. Dr. Mitch will be coming up here, like I said, at the bottom of the hour. Also today for our Daily Toker Tunes, it's Irie Wednesday, and we'll be hearing from Johnny Reeferseed, from Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers. He's our Wednesday Music Stash editor, and he's bringing us some great reggae today from Maccabee. So that'll be coming up later on in the show. Also wanted to make a quick note of what's going on in the state of New Jersey. A big alert here that we're posting from Normal in New Jersey. Chris Goldstein, the founder of the Normal Daily Audio Stash podcast, also the executive director of Normal New Jersey, called to let me know that the Senate and the Assembly will be voting on their medical marijuana bills on the next Monday, January 11th. So we've only got this last few days of this week for you folks in the Garden State to make your calls and get in touch with your local officials out there in New Jersey. Make sure that they will pass that medical marijuana bill. It's really, really restrictive. It looks like people won't be able to grow their own marijuana. Looks like they won't have chronic pain as a condition. And it looks like people will be locked into dispensaries. But hey, a half a loaf is better than none, folks. We got to make some changes out there on the East Coast. It's about time we brought medical marijuana to our friends out there in the Eastern time zone in that mid-Atlantic area. We're coming right back after this break. We got to pay some bills. Make sure that you patronize our sponsors to help support Normal Show Live. I'm Radical Russ. The news is next.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
Said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Would be a lot cooler if you did. Light on hot is. Light on hot is.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
SportsIllustrated.com is reporting that Oklahoma State basketball player Marshall Moses was charged with misdemeanor possession of marijuana and driving with a suspended license yesterday. The starting forward was pulled over just after midnight early Tuesday morning for weaving and making an improper turn. The odor of cannabis led to a search that produced a small amount of marijuana and a pipe. His basketball coach, Travis Ford, picked up his player from jail and suspended him for the game last night between Oklahoma State and Copan State. Ford defended his one-game suspension on the OSU Cowboys blog in response to an outcry that the punishment was too lenient. Moses is expected to play in Saturday's game against Texas Tech and is scheduled to appear in court on February 8th.
Ah, another case of a sports star getting popped with marijuana. Hey, Marshall Moses, just a couple of notes here from those of us who have a little bit of experience with this. Number one, if you have a suspended license, find someone else to give you a ride, man. Come on. It's Steinborn's Law. Only break one law at a time. If you're going to be carrying weed, you got to drive like a square. You got to have license, insurance, registration. Your taillights got to work. You got to follow the speed limit. You got to stay in the lanes. You got to make signals when you turn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Also, if you're going to be carrying your weed, don't carry it in the front of the car. Put it in the trunk. And those of you who are going to be taking weed with you, it's a lot safer if you just take the weed and don't bring a pipe with you. Carry papers, roll a joint, learn how to get your fingers dirty, roll one up. It's the best way to go. It's the safest way. It only looks like a cigarette. You can throw it away a whole lot easier. Come on, folks. Be smart. Head out to stash.normal.org and look in our upper left-hand corner up on our menu there underneath the archives. You'll find how to deal with police and how to not get stopped. Those two very informative cartoons should give you some of the help you need in not getting caught.
And a Denver, Colorado man is dead following what police are describing to the Denver Post as a medical marijuana transaction turned bad. The victim, a 59-year-old Vietnam War veteran who liked to ride motorcycles until his health forced him to sell his bike, had obtained a medical marijuana patient's card from the state a few months ago. Police say a shootout in the victim's home left him dead at the scene. A second man, who police are calling a suspect, walked into an emergency room a short time after the shooting, also with a gunshot wound. The suspect was still in the hospital late Tuesday night with life-threatening injuries, according to police spokesman Sony Jackson. He declined to say why investigators believe medical marijuana was involved. Brian Vicente, executive director of Sensible Colorado, issued a statement saying the shooting shows how regulations are needed to bring medical marijuana transactions into the daylight and that a regulated marketplace protects the constitutional rights of patients and will allow sick individuals safe access to this medicine. Police have not released the name of the suspect or the victim. Russ?
You know, it's more than just regulating the market for medical marijuana transactions, because as long as 95% of the people that use marijuana don't have a legal way to access it, there will always be these kind of tragic situations involving medical marijuana. Why are people getting shot? Why are there home invasion robberies? Because marijuana is worth its weight in palladium or gold or silver or whatever precious metal you want to pick. There's no reason people should get shot and killed and die over a plant. You don't see a whole lot of home invasion robberies for someone trying to steal a carton of cigarettes, do you? You don't see a whole lot of home invasion robberies for people trying to get a hold of your liquor cabinet, do you? No. That's because the adults who want to use liquor and the adults who want to use tobacco have a legal way to access it. It just infuriates me when these stories come out, because our opponents will seize on this and they'll say, oh, well, see, medical marijuana causes crime. See what happens when we legalize medical marijuana? People get shot and people get killed. No. People are getting shot and killed over marijuana because it's illegal. They were getting shot and killed over marijuana before we had medical marijuana. They will continue to get shot and killed over marijuana while we have medical marijuana until we make the realistic decision to let adults be adults and to allow them to consume a safe, non-toxic, therapeutic herb.
Stupid stoner. Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Stories.
And yes, this is definitely one for your stupid stoner files, Russ. Acting on a citizen's tip, authorities in Marathon, Florida, found six large marijuana plants growing in a vacant lot. With nothing more to go on, the police left a ransom note offering to sell the pot back to its rightful owner. The note said, "Thanks for the grow. You want them back? Call for the price. We'll talk." The detectives left the note as a joke for the grower and never expected to hear from them, but it only took the offenders 10 minutes to make the call. Stephen Lacasio negotiated to get his plants back for $200, and after meeting with an undercover officer and handing over the $200, he was promptly arrested. A search warrant was then issued for his nearby apartment, where officers found 20 smaller plants and 4 pounds of freshly harvested marijuana. Mr. Lacasio's wife was also charged.
Oh, boy. All right, so you're a grower, and you got yourself 6 plants grown out in a vacant lot. And you come back one day, and those plants are missing. Someone's ripped them off, but there's a note sitting there that says, hey, we got your plants. You want them back? It'll be $200. Think to yourself, oh, grower, who in the hell out there is not going to be able to sell the weed that you'd get off of 6 plants for a whole hell of a lot more than $200. Come on, guy. The idea, this guy going back and calling the police to get his weed back. Look, man, you had 20 more plants at home. You got another crop coming up. Be patient, man. Don't make it so easy for the police. That's just, boy, that's the stupidest stoner story I've heard in 2010. We're only 6 days in, but that has to be definitely the stupidest one.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time to check our normal cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.com. www.normalnow.org/calendar. Coming up tomorrow, Thursday, January 7th, Philadelphia Normal is having their open meeting. Contact phillynormal.org for details. Kansas City Normal's at the concert with Damage Control and Primer 55. Check out kcnormal.org for details. KC Normal also asks you on Friday, January 8th, to come out and help urge a medical marijuana bill for the state of Missouri. So come on out on Friday, January 8th. You can also call Kansas City Normal at 888-KCNormal.org. On Saturday, January 9th, Oregon Normal is having their bi-monthly cardholders meeting at the Village Ballroom, 700 Northeast Deakum in Portland, Oregon. You do need to be a medical marijuana cardholder and a member of Oregon Normal to attend. For more details, check out ornorml.org. Kansas City Normal will be having their first meeting of 2010 on Saturday. Check them out, kcnormal.org. And Normal of Waco, Inc. will be having their monthly meeting at the home of Executive Director Cliff Duvall. Check out normalwacoinc.org or email cliff@normalwacoinc.org. And looking around the corner to next week on Monday, January 11th, the New Jersey Senate and Assembly will both be voting on medical marijuana. Call your New Jersey legislators by visiting stash.normal.org and checking out our action alert. And on Monday, January 11th, the Denver City Council will be having their meeting for a proposed new medical marijuana ordinance. The members of Colorado Normal, Mile High Normal, and other normal chapters in Colorado all urge you to attend the meeting and to contact your city council. That's our Normal Cannabis Community Calendar. For more details on all of this information, check out normal.org/calendar. And if you'd like to get your chapter's information up there on our calendar, send me an email at stash@normal.org.
It's a Normal shout-out.
All right, Normal shout-out today goes out to the state of Idaho. I'm calling out my own home state here. Want to get a Normal chapter set up there really, really bad. Both Cannabis Carry and I are originally from Idaho. We moved out here to Oregon in 2003, and we love it, but we still have a lot of friends and family back there in the state of Idaho who could really use some Normal chapters and some advocacy out there. And don't think that it's impossible in a state like Idaho. We've seen the city of Haley, Idaho, pass 3 out of 4 marijuana initiatives twice, or 3 times in some cases here. Initiative for medical marijuana, initiative for industrial hemp, and initiative for decriminalization. I'm looking for people in the Boise, Idaho area to get involved. Send me an email at stash@normal.org. Carrie, I know you're from the Twin Falls area. There's got to be some people down there in southern Idaho.
Some cool people. There's cool people all over this country, including in Idaho. So we're hoping that we can get a really strong chapter in that state.
That's right. Around the Twin Falls area, if you're around Pocatello, Idaho Falls area, my father's from that area. I'd love to get eastern Idaho on board. And, of course, northern Idaho up there, Coeur d'Alene, beautiful area of the country. Lewis and all those areas up there. State of Idaho, you're my home state. I really, 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 really want to get a Normal chapter involved there. So please give me a call or give me an email at stash@normal.org. Now, coming up around the break here, we are going to be talking with Johnny Reeferseed from Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers. He's going to introduce our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker tune. Hope you stick around for that. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. I'm Radical Russ Belville. We'll be taking your calls with Dr. Mitch at 347-994-1810 at the bottom of the hour. Stick around.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reaverseed and the High Rollers, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, available now on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on NORML Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, everybody, welcome back for our Daily Toker Tunes. We're joined from Iowa by Johnny Reaverseed. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Russ?
I'm doing great. You're hanging out with the Rev out there in Iowa?
Yeah, we're hanging here. Actually, this tune is one that he turned me on to.
Well, tell us all about it.
Okay, well, it's by a guy named McAbee. He's a British-born reggae and artist, performer, and activist with a career spanning almost 30 years in the United Kingdom and Jamaica. He's known as The Teacher. McAbee has gathered a strong worldwide following spanning many continents, and McAbee is respected for always being true to his views and always speaking from the heart. They say he's a true man of the people. As a practicing Rastafarian, McAbee's music is based around the political and spiritual message of the religion with an often light and humorous touch. He combines dancehall and dub styles of reggae, although he's avoided a more commercial crossover approach. McAbee takes his name from the Judean rebels against the Romans, called the Maccabees. You can check out McAbee at www.macab.com or at myspace.com/MACKAB1, and you can buy stuff on iTunes. He's got about 5 or 6 albums up on there.
All right, fantastic. Let's get this played here. Thanks a lot, Johnny. This is McAbee with Legalize the Herb.
Hey, thanks, Russ.
You're only making criminals out of decent folk. Just because a little bit of ganja they smoke, it shouldn't be a crime. It's about time. Have you heard the word legalizer? 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 Millions of people smoke marijuana all over the world now, in every corner. Nurses, teacher, the lawyer, and the doctor. Even the president of America. Ganja in a prison, them a regular user. The governor no mind, he keep the prisoner cooler. All your 60s hippies, where are they? Them are your bank managers and your boss of today. Have you heard the word legalizer? 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 So why is it illegal and it's not as bad as the alcohol? Look how many people dead because of alcohol lockdown at the hospital. Just wait a minute and pause. You look at the problems alcohol cause. If you're over 18, you can buy it in a bar. You buy it in a bus and you jump in a cast. Could I knock down somebody's son or them daughters? Why them people have some hypocritical laws? You can drink till you're drunk and sisters. And it is legal just because of the pounds and the pence and dollars. Have you heard the word?
Legalizer.
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 Some people smoke it for relaxation. Doctors prescribe it in a medication. Rastaman smoke it for good meditation. After meditation, we get inspiration. Iry sensation. Good vibration. Healing of the nation. Herb emancipation. Nobody can stop me with participation. Man upon the earth from creation. Have you heard the word?
Legalizer.
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 Decriminalize it, decriminalize it. Decriminalize it, decriminalize it. Decriminalize it, decriminalize it. Decriminalize it, decriminalize it. Have you heard the word?
Legalizer.
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 Decriminalize the herb, make we burn it in peace. Arresting people for herb must cease. You're wasting the time of all the police. Too much time on the board and the lead. Look round the world, how crime are increased. Go on, go catch murderer, go on, go catch thief. Go on, go catch the robber, them and the sex beast. And left ganja people in a peace. Cease. Have you heard the word?
Legalizer.
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 Decriminalize marijuana.
Papa, 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 uma, mau, mau. Wait a minute, that's the wrong word. I always thought the bird was the word. I don't know, I agree with the guys in the chat room. Legalize is a much better word. That's Maccabee with Legalize the Herb. Glad to have that tune. Thanks a lot, Johnny Reefer Seed, for bringing that to us. Coming up next, Dr. Mitch Earlywine and your dose of cannabis science. Make sure to give us a call at 347-994-1810. You can ask your questions about cannabis science, health, culture, history, myths. He knows it all. Give us a call. We'll be right back after this.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany. Now, open wide and say, ah. Here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, glad to have Dr. Mitch Earlywine joining us from the state of New York. Dr. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm having a wonderful day, and thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, we're glad to have you here live. The questions are already building up. The folks are really excited to be able to talk to you directly here. First, from the chat room, we had a question here about hemp seeds. They're just asking about the benefit of hemp seeds for health and oils and lotions for the skin. Are they magic?
Well, it's a wonderful question, and in fact, they're not magic, they're science. Hemp seeds themselves as an edible, just a wonderful thing. They make a wonderful snack. You can toast them up. They don't have any THC. They're not psychoactive, but they are high in some essential fatty acids. They have some trace minerals that are hard to get from other foods, like chromium and things like that, and they're a good percentage of a relatively complete protein. You grind them up and make a meal. They make wonderful pretzels. I really recommend it. As far as the salves that contain hemp oil, those are also made from the seeds and do a remarkable job. I'm surprised they're not more popular, but they have reached the mainstream in things like Body Shop and some other products. And there aren't a ton of empirical studies, in part because it just hasn't really been essential. They're great for things like the sunscreens. Right now, I know folks are careful about washing their hands a lot to avoid illness, and believe me, they'll be a nice addition to keeping your hands from getting so dry they're cracked and driving you crazy. And they really are superb products. It's pretty much one of the few things in the cannabis industry that does exactly what everyone says it does.
Oh, fantastic. And I'm just wondering, to follow up on that question, I know in the past year you and I have gone over a few studies where they've shown that THC and certain cannabinoids can be an effective antibacterial against staph-resistant MRSA or resistant MRSA and other sorts of staph infections. Would the hemp seed oil in these lotions and stuff have any of those properties, or are we talking about something completely different?
Unfortunately, they don't, because by law they can't contain THC.
All right, that's right.
A real drawback. In fact, that goes all the way back to Shenang's legendary stuff from 2800 BC. I mean, we've known this for literally thousands of years, and yet people can't get it even as a topical solution. Now, you can imagine only an idiot would try to smoke, you know, hand cream, even if it did have THC in it, but it does have the potential to be really superb. There are certain microbes and some really nasty things related to ear infection that these could probably work well on, but we're just not going to have that opportunity, at least not in the immediate future.
All right. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, leading drug and alcohol researcher at SUNY Albany and author of The Parent's Guide to Marijuana, Pop Politics, and editor of Understanding Marijuana, or did they get that backwards?
They're reversed, but they're all good.
They're all good, and they're all up at live.normal.org. You'll see the thumbnails for the covers. You can click on them. You can buy the books at Amazon and learn a ton. I got another call here from the folks out in Kansas City, Normal, asking about something called the K2 Herbal Blend and wondering if you knew exactly what that was besides not having cannabinoids. I'm wondering if it's one of those fake pots that you see in High Times, perhaps.
In fact, it is, and a big shout-out to those guys. I love Kansas City. I grew up in Missouri, and I'm really hoping they can make some wonderful progress there. The bottom line on the sort of over-the-counter or legal high materials depends on if it's something that you're supposed to swallow or something that you're allegedly supposed to smoke. I really can't recommend these because there just aren't any data. I'm extremely apprehensive about anyone really smoking anything. All my data from the vaporizer suggests that lighting things on fire just isn't something that our lung tissue evolved to handle. So I can't recommend those. The subjective reports from those tend to be comparable to what I hear from other placebos. So people say, oh, yeah, it was great, but I really had to hold my hits a long time. Well, if you really had to hold your hits a long time, odds are high you would have done fine just holding air and holding that a long time. So I'm real apprehensive about those. The things that people usually swallow are often either caffeine, ephedra, if it's legal where you are, or other kinds of stimulants rather than anything that's even close to a cannabinoid. And these also can have nasty cardiovascular effects at high doses. Few people seem to follow the directions on the side and keep their doses down, and it's just an invitation to problems that seem kind of sad given that this is in many ways sort of prohibition produced.
It almost seems like all the fake pot is probably worse for you than the real thing.
I can't say universally, yeah. But at least on the surface, it sure seems that way.
Okay. Another call coming in from the chat room here. This one is someone asking about theorizing why, or can you theorize about cannabis's ability to keep the lungs less likely to develop cancer by combating the effects of moderate cigarette smoking? I guess they're asking here, if you're a moderate cigarette smoker, does smoking cannabis help you not get cancer from the tobacco?
This is one of those things that's going to get me nailed to the cross on the cover of People magazine. When you look at Don Tashkin's data, you do find that, you know, literally a couple decades ago, he was seeing some of the initial changes in lung function and in lung tissue that were suggesting, oh my God, cannabis is going to produce lung cancer. A decade later, nobody seemed to have it, and in fact, when you looked close at the stats, they were actually at a little bit lower risk than their pals who were smoking cigarettes, certainly, and even some folks who were not smoking at all. And those who were smoking both, they ran into some other problems, but it got a little bit hairy. There's a wonderful free article by Bob Malamede at Harm Reduction Journal walking through why this might be so, but we're not at the human stage where I can honestly say, oh, yeah, this is surely going to happen. Bob's writing is incredibly clear, but the process is kind of complicated. But the bottom line is nicotine definitely enhances tumor growth. THC definitely decreases tumor growth. And if you walk through, that's certainly the case. Nevertheless, if folks are smoking cigarettes, I can't encourage you strongly enough. This is not a drug for human consumption. These are by far the most lethal things. Nicotine is so toxic now, we're using it in certain pesticides. This is just a bad drug. And the combination of cannabis and tobacco may not be so bad as far as lung cancer is concerned, but there are other respiratory problems where it can really be a drag, in particular emphysema. So you may not be having a lung removed because of cancer, but your ability to actually take a nice deep breath and go for a run may be impaired because of some problems with the way tar is deposited on the lungs and the way inhaling tobacco sort of kills the little cilia inside there that are supposed to be so great for throwing out nasty things that shouldn't be in your lungs in the first place.
Okay. And that would lead me to a story that I had published up on the Stash blog in our Reefer Madness category. This was a story that resurfaced. I think the study was an old one, and I use air quotes for the word study. This one, and this one goes in your name files too, Dr. Earlywine. You'll love this guy. Dr. Alan Budney at the University of Vermont in Burlington found that marijuana smokers who stop using the drug while in their home environment suffer withdrawal symptoms that appear as severe as those associated with tobacco smoking. This so-called study, they followed 12 marijuana smokers over a five-day period where they had 3 days of abstinence, and they noted the various things of strange dreams, increased aggression, decreased appetite, sleep difficulty, and so on. I was wondering if you could just, you know, shoot that down for us as far as the flaws as a study and the truth about withdrawal from marijuana.
I mean, I love Alan, and with a name like Budney, he's got to be good, right? He has moved from Vermont out to Arkansas. It seems like any time I move somewhere in the country near him, he always moves away. So it's not the kind of contact we've been eager to get. But also, Alan gets literally millions of dollars a year for cannabis treatment research. And so we have to understand that he's got, you know, an advantage for framing things in a certain way. The take-home message on this study was really about, hey, if you're around all the cues for pot when you're trying to quit, it's harder. And that's really what he was trying to say here. But when you look at what are the withdrawal symptoms of cannabis, you and I have gone back and forth on this a million times. I mean, they're hilarious. Loss of appetite? Are you kidding me? This is a withdrawal symptom, right? And invariably, there's a lot of individual differences on this. So some people really do find it irritating to lay off, and other folks don't have as dramatic a reaction. But as Paul Armentano has mentioned time and again, when you look at the animal studies, as withdrawal goes, this is pretty minor and doesn't hold a candle to the dreaded caffeine, alcohol, or nicotine. So, yes, you do get animals who experience withdrawal in the lab, but it's often for a very brief duration. The severity in some of Alan Budney's other work, suggests it's comparable to cigarettes, but he never goes for the duration aspect. And when you look at the symptoms themselves, you have to guffaw just a bit. Strange dreams. I mean, this is a withdrawal symptom. Again, anybody who's like withdrawn from heroin or the opiates looks at these and gets insulted that these get called withdrawal when what they have to endure, which is usually uncontrollable muscle things and outrageous, horrible symptoms, much more like a nasty flu, they get, as you might imagine, pretty ticked off at the idea that this is withdrawal. The other thing, though, is taking time off is time well spent. And there's nothing better for enhancing your cannabis experience and keeping your cannabis bill low than taking a month off every year. And it's funny how every time I mention this, I sometimes hear these outrageous gasps, like, a month off. But you will be stunned at how superb your tolerance drops and how you suddenly get to appreciate it more. So there isn't this automaticity about your cannabis use. You know, just because it's Friday doesn't mean I have to get high.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, you enjoy the plant more, and like Maccabee was saying, it becomes more of a meditation.
All right. Got a question from the chat room here from Vapor King asking, what about the endocannabinoid system in the brain? Is there any new news on studies about endocannabinoids or understanding the receptors?
This is such a superb literature. And there's stuff going on in this literally every single month as the journals open things up. I think some of the most intriguing things are some things we've alluded to on the Stash in the past. The idea that THC can suppress tumor growth, and then some recent work that cannabidiol, of all things, can basically alter craving for heroin, which is something that, you know, heroin addicts have been sort of alluding to over the years, but now we actually have some intriguing data about the mechanism. I love the fact that the cannabinoid receptor seems to modulate all these other things going on in our bodies, because fortunately you don't have to drop acid to realize we're all connected. And the intriguing aspect of this is it's really wide open. We've finally been able to clone the receptor. Mahulam and all those guys in Israel are just doing some superb work with that. And they've developed these knockout mice, basically mice who were born with basically don't have this cannabinoid receptor. And you can see, man, they're really aggressive. They're bummed out all the time. They get really fat. You know, it's obvious that this is a really rivetingly important component of our nervous system and the brain.
I think that may explain a bully I had in fifth grade. Looking here to another question here from the chat room. We've got a question here on dwarf skullcap, an herb called dwarf skullcap, and I'm wondering if you know anything about that.
This is another one that allegedly has some either mild hallucinogen or at least sort of thought disorder properties, and we just don't have the data on what are its long-term effects. Some folks are smoking it. All the things I said about smoking earlier I think really apply here. We just don't know what this would do to lung tissue. Folks who are eating it are at least we're getting, you know, a few every year in the emergency rooms across the country of weird toxic reactions that we just don't quite understand. And unfortunately, too, people aren't really great at identifying it in the wild, and so sometimes they can confuse it with some other psychoactive herbs, some of which can have some really harsh problems on the liver. So this is another one where I just can't recommend the home game.
Someone else was mentioning, is this an ingredient in that new spice drug that they're talking about? We've heard about this coming out from Germany, something called spice.
And in fact, it's curious because quite a few European countries now have a bunch of different things that are going by the name spice, and I'm afraid PR has hurt whatever spice was, if it might have been good. So now everyone is just tossing things together and calling them spice. Yet another benefit of the underground market, I guess.
Yeah.
So I can say that there have been samples where spice has contained skullcap that have been identified, but every time you buy something on the street, you just don't know what it is.
Yeah, once again, another argument for the sensible regulation of these sorts of substances. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Wednesday here, either pre-recorded or live, for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science. Thanks a lot for joining us, Dr. Mitch.
It's always a pleasure, and thanks so much for having me.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Join the conversation now. Call Normal Show Live, 347-994-1810. That's 1-347-994-1810. We're taking your calls now.
Welcome back to Normal Show Live. It's 46 after the hour. The phone lines are open at 347-994-1810. Open topic, whatever you want to talk about. Just want to give a shout out or leave a comment or have a question. Maybe we can help you out. I'm going to go back to Astoria, Oregon, and my good friend Cannabis Carrie. And she's been hanging out in the chat room. Carrie, how's things going out there in cyberspace?
Pretty good. I met someone who's sort of close to our area here. They're from the Gorge, and they have a beach house in Ocean Park. So we're exchanging weather information.
Oh, that's fantastic. Folks, if you want to get involved in the live chat where you can ask questions, Carrie monitors the chat and brings the questions up to me, and that's how I was able to get them to Dr. Mitch. You can always find us at bit.ly/normlchat. Now, it's case sensitive, so you have to do the normal in capital letters, bit.ly/normlchat. I want to go to some stories here that have been sitting on the Stash blog over at stash.normal.org. Please check it out. We've done a complete redesign, trying to make it easier for you to find some of your favorite stories, a lot of menu-driven stuff now. And I wanted to make a mention of the legalization bill that was filed in the state of New Hampshire. A bipartisan coalition of lawmakers today introduced legislation that seeks to regulate the purchase and use of marijuana for adults. That is such good news. We are so happy to hear that. Yes, give it up. House Bill 1652 allows for the purchase and use of marijuana by adults age 21 or older, regulates the purchase and use of marijuana, and imposes taxes on the wholesale and retail sale of marijuana. Personal possession of up to 1 ounce of cannabis and or non-commercial cultivation of up to 3 marijuana plants would not be subject to tax and regulation under this act. We've got a copy of the full text of the measure available out there at our blog, stash.normal.org. You can find that by going to the politics section. Use the menus up at the top. We're encouraging everyone to contact their legislators in the Granite State to support HB 1652. We've got the links for you at normal.org in order to send an email, a fax, or to contact your legislators directly through telephone call. Remember, a phone call is best. When they get a call, that's like them hearing from 50 people. They know most people don't like to call, so when you call, it really does make a difference. Got another sad story that I want to approach here. Boy, this one, it's not exactly a marijuana story, but it's something that I've been following for a long, long time now, and it's just something that has to stop. This is the police in suburban Chicago tasered a man 11 times while he was having a diabetic seizure, and the 56 seconds of needlessly inflicted shock inflicted while he was lying unresponsive on the floor of his bedroom permanently scarred him and caused him neurological damage that has not abated, the man claims in a Chicago federal court. Prospero Lassie said he suffered a diabetes-induced seizure at home on April 9th. His roommate called 911, and police from LaGrange Park and Brookfield responded with EMTs from LaGrange Park. Lassie says his roommate explained to police that he was having a diabetic seizure. Lassie was not alert and could not move his body. When EMTs asked the cops to help them move Lassie from where he was lying on the floor, Lassie says one of his arms flailed during his diabetic-induced seizure, striking one of the LaGrange and Brookfield police officers. At no time did Mr. Lassie intentionally strike or offensively touch any of the LaGrange or Brookfield defendants. Lassie says LaGrange Park officer Darren Pedota responded by tasering him 11 times for nearly a minute as he lay helpless. He was hospitalized for 5 days and was unable to work for 3 months because of the attack, and his quality of life has suffered substantially. At no time did Mr. Lassie do anything to warrant the use of force against him. Mr. Lassie was never cited, never arrested, and never charged with any crime. Now, the man was not a medical marijuana patient, but, you know, he could very well have been. I know a lot of medical patients that are using marijuana for their diabetic neuropathy, that terrible nerve pain that they get from diabetes, that responds so well to cannabis and not so well to all the traditional NSAIDs, anti-inflammatories, painkillers, and opioids. So this poor Prospero Lassie, flailing around on the ground in the midst of a seizure, on top of that, gets tased 11 times with all these thousands of volts of electricity going through his body. I've said it once, I'll say it again. You should not be using a taser unless you would also set the same standard for using your gun. The whole idea of tasers was to come out and bring us something that was supposedly a less than lethal use of force so that cops didn't have to shoot people. The idea here is we'd give them tasers, they could shock a guy, knock him down, and that way the cop wouldn't have to pull his gun. But of course, when a cop pulls his gun, there's some pretty strict procedures there. He has to be threatened. He or she has to be threatened. They have to have a direct and imminent threat to their life or health or safety. In order to mandate the use of their firearm, there should be exactly the same standard for the use of a taser. We're talking about an extrajudicial electrocution here, folks, of a suspect who is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And I cannot be convinced that these two or three police officers, however many were there, were in any danger from a man thrashing about having a diabetic seizure. But once again, it's the instance where police are using tasers not as an instrument of last resort, but as an instrument of compliance. They are using them to try to get the suspect to do what they want them to do or to punish them for contempt of cop. I believe that any cop that uses a taser should be subject to the same sort of internal affairs review as they have for a police officer who discharges his firearm. They should be given leave with pay, administrative leave. There should be a full investigation of the tasering and some reckoning as to whether or not the tasering was actually necessary. We have had people, over 200 people, die from tasering in this country since about 2004. Amnesty International tracks this stuff of where these people die, and when we find out 90% of them did not have any sort of weapon with them when they were tased, we find those types of things out, and most of them weren't charged with anything or any crimes or any violent crimes. That's got to stop, people. This is ridiculous. The use of tasers was never intended for this sort of situation, and we need to have more people calling their police departments, calling their local elected officials to do something about this, because it's really got to stop. We've got to do something about this. All right, so let me move on here to another subject. We were talking with Dr. Earlywine earlier about marijuana and addiction. And this is something that always, well, it always gets to me in a personal way, because I'm the child of an alcoholic drug addict father. And my father was an alcoholic, and he was using speed and weed and coke and all of, you know, all the good stuff. He was using all of that up until I was 12 years old. When I was 12 years old, my dad was about to commit suicide by jumping off of a bridge, the bridge that actually goes over the Snake River between Payette and Ontario. When he said he had a moment of clarity, he actually says that he had an experience, you know, spiritual experience, that led him to check into the Mercy Care Center and their alcohol and drug rehab program. He detoxed for 30 days, got clean and sober, went back to school, became a drug and alcohol counselor, and then proceeded to help other alcoholics and addicts to beat their demons. So for me, when I hear about people talking about marijuana addiction and people having severe withdrawals from marijuana, excuse me if it just makes me a little bit upset. I remember very clearly as a kid, before my dad got clean and sober, I probably was 10 or 11 years old, the numerous times that he tried to quit cold turkey after having a couple of DUIs or other legal problems. I remember him locking himself into a trailer house that was behind our house in Nampa, Idaho, locking himself into a trailer where we couldn't go see him, where mom had to tell us, "Daddy's sick, we can't go see him," because he was in a trailer for 2 or 3 weeks going through the DTs trying to kick alcohol, going through the trembling and the hallucinations and the cold sweats, curled up on the floor in the fetal position, crying out in pain and puking from trying to get over alcohol and hard drugs. So again, pardon me if I've got a problem with people that throw around the word addiction and withdrawal as if it was just such a light term. It really does offend me. I'm not at all offended by saying people can have a marijuana dependence. I do think there are people that have problems with marijuana. The National Institutes of Drug Abuse and other studies have shown about 9% of the people who use marijuana do end up displaying some sort of form of dependence. Which, again, we have to remember that about 15% of the people that use alcohol and about 32% of the people that use tobacco end up having dependence. Anyway, for those 9%, I do wish you the best of luck in the world. And, you know, 12-step programs can help. All sorts of things can help. But please, let's reserve the word addiction for serious physical, chemical addiction with withdrawals that can kill you. All right, a couple of more questions coming up here on the chat line. Where to send letters from legislators for the blog? Oh, we have a thing at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org called Politicians on Pot. And the way that it works is you send an email or a letter to your elected official, and then that when they send you the reply back, we post it up on the web. We tag it by whether they're Republican or Democrat, what state they're from. So that when other people, when it comes election time and you want to find out how your politicians feel about marijuana, because usually you don't find that kind of information on their websites, you can find it at the Stash. We've got a little search box up at the top. You can type in Republican or Democrat or the name of your state or the name of a particular legislator. And if we've got their email, you'll see it up there on the Stash. If you've got those, just send it to our direct email address, stash@normal.org. And if you gave it the subject, Politicians on Pot, that would help a whole lot. Also, a question from Aper King. What do you people think about a person being sent to rehab for marijuana? Well, it beats prison, I'll tell you that. But for me, I'm really not for court-mandated rehabs. I believe people that want to go to rehab, it's the old joke, you know, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but the light bulb has to want to change. I kind of believe in that. I believe that we should let rehab be for people that want to go to rehab and not force them to go to rehab. They're taking up beds that people that want rehab could be using. And for marijuana, no, I definitely can't see that as an appropriate punishment for marijuana. We find that 34% actually, of the people that are sentenced to rehab haven't even used marijuana in the month prior to going to rehab. So much for that really heavy-duty addiction. 58% of the people that are in rehab for marijuana were forced there by the criminal justice system, by the courts, by being arrested for having marijuana. I'm sorry, being in possession of marijuana and using it responsibly does not make you a criminal and does not make you an irresponsible person. So that's my answer for that. Hope you all join us for the upcoming episodes of Normal Show Live. We've got every weekday we will be here, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Boy, the time sure flies when you're having fun. Coming up tomorrow, we've got a special announcement from Normal about the Normal Women's Alliance. Sabrina Fendrick will be joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about this new outreach project from Normal to reach out to mothers, daughters, grandmothers, and wives. We want you involved in ending marijuana law reform. Women were instrumental in ending prohibition. That's all for me. I'm Radical Russ. Take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
All right, that's the end of Normal Show Live. You're welcome to the Normal Show Live after the show. We're just like Oprah here. We go for a few minutes after the show, and we can get to some of the stuff that we weren't able to get to during the show. Cannabis Carrie is back here for after the show. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. A little bit better than yesterday. I wonder if President Obama's speech kicked us off towards the end of the show yesterday.
I wonder if that was it. Yeah, we were on the air.
You know, 20 million people all on the same server going, well, I got to hear it.
Maybe
news
so.
News feeds going out everywhere.
Yeah, that could have been
it. You know,
it,
people
sure.
People in the chat room are so excited about Dr. Mitch. You know, he never gets old. We
I
have
know.
Him on every single week. And people still just love to hear everything that he says. He's just like a little encyclopedia. What a great asset to the Wednesday show.
Yeah, definitely. And I forgot to mention during the show, you know, and bad host, I forgot to mention the email address for him, folks. If you're still listening and you want to send an email to Dr. Mitch, it's 420research@gmail.com. And that goes straight to him. And then we bring those questions up a lot of times on the show.
Man, I bet he gets a lot of emails.
I'll bet
Maybe
he
just
does.
As many as you do.
I know. And I love the name Dr. Earlywine as a drug and alcohol researcher. You know, we joke about
right.
that. You know, Dr. And they had that study from Dr. Budney, you know, the marijuana study.
I know,
from
I was
going
to say,
Budney.
It was fun listening to go after Dr. Bud.
Yeah. And he told me that he has, he knows of other researchers, a researcher named Charles Blow, who researched cocaine. I don't know if it was Charles. It was Dr. Blow. Dr. Blow, who had researched cocaine. There was a Dr. Fried, who did some research on LSD.
Dr. Blow, I think I met him once in the 80s. Nice guy.
Yeah. He had that skinny,
a little uptight.
He had the skinny tie, the checkered shoes. You remember him? Yeah.
That's right. Dr.
Blow.
He's a little uptight.
Always wore his sunglasses at night. Yeah. Dr. Fried with the LSD research. And there was a, his research assistant is a woman named Sarah Smoker.
Oh, perfect.
So, yeah.
That's great. I've never met anybody with the last name Smoker. I wonder what nationality that is.
I don't know. I went to school with a girl named Susie Stoner.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jim Stoner from Boise.
Oh, that's right.
He's a media guy down there in Boise now.
Yeah, Jim Stoner. All right. Well,
Do you remember that name?
Yeah.
I think he works at one of the news stations down or something.
That's right. That's very right. It's funny, too, how so many of the Boise newscasters ended up in Portland too. There's a few of them.
Yeah. That's a pretty reasonable dump.
Well, other things I can mention here for after the show today is my brother Matt's birthday.
Oh, that's nice. That's excellent. Yeah. You gonna give him a call?
I will give him a call and say happy birthday to you.
Hey, and one thing I was gonna mention, and this year on your birthday, I think your birthday must be on a Sunday this year.
It is.
Is it Super Bowl Sunday or is that
No,
the next
no,
one?
It's the week before. It's Pro Bowl Sunday because you're going to have the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl.
Oh. Well, I'm producing a show out here on the Oregon coast that will broadcast on KMUN about cannabis and hemp legalization and where we're at movement for the coast folks. So I'll be doing that. It'll be 7 p.m. on Sunday night on January 31st.
And folks
I'm hoping to connect with some... coastal normal people so they can call in and get a few words in as well on the show.
Yeah, and that'd be cool. And folks that are listening to us all over the country, they can hear you online, can't they?
Absolutely. It's coastradio.org, and it streams live.
Coastradio.org. All right, yeah. Folks, listen to it. Carrie is wonderful on the radio. Great, fantastic voice. Wonderful radio voice.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, gosh, I think that's everything we have to say here. I'm trying to make it 5 minutes
right.
long, though, for this after the show, so we still have 45 seconds. So I guess I can do this. Yeah, that's good. All right. Hey, thanks, everybody, for listening to Normal Live After the Show. We got to come up with a theme for it, an actual tune for after the show.
Well, we'll work on it. We're only 3 days in. So.
Only three
so
days
far,
in.
So
that's
good.
Right. Okay, folks. And this also is the recorded podcast. I've got it recorded on Audacity here. It looks like it's recorded pretty well. Did you hear a high-pitched whine during the last segment by any chance?
I did. I didn't know if that was on Dr. Mitch's phone or if that was something in your house that was making that noise.
Well, after Dr. Mitch got off the air and we did the last segment and I was just rambling, it was still there. So, I have to check that out.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that.
All right. Well, that's it for... that's it for Normal Show Live after the show. And for Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Take care of each other, tokers.